Amen. Yeah, Pastor David, I always keep one on standby now. I have learned to, just in case, you know, you never know when the moment calls. And so to be instant in season and out. So. But we have a little something I'd like to share with you tonight. If you have a Bible and you care to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Everyone there? Amen. No? Matthew 7 and 24. It reads like this in the King James Version. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." We'll stop right there. I'd like to share a thought with you tonight. Weathering the storms. Storms, plural, meaning more than. If we'll pray one more time, and then I'll move right into it. Ask the Lord to help me tonight in every which way He can. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight, Lord God. And I thank You for everything that You've just poured out to us, Father. You've written it to us. It's Your love letter to Your people, Lord God. And I thank You tonight for it, Lord God. And I just ask You to speak unto each and every one of us tonight. Speak unto my heart and let the meditations of my mind and the words of my mouth, Father, just glorify Your name this night, Lord God. And Father, let it edify the body. And God, we just ask that You would move in a powerful way tonight amongst Your people and in the altar service, Lord God, that, Father, when we depart from this place, we can say we've been in the presence of God. And in Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Yeah, this is probably one of my favorite parables or illustrations in the Bible. I don't know why. I just pick it out as one of my favorites. And I use it a lot in the jail. And it's just typical Jesus illustration. You know, it's simple and it's to the point, and you can pull out some great things tonight. And I'm going to try and do that. You know, the thing about this parable is it just cuts it right down to the simplicity of it. He said there's two types of people in this world, you know, and Jesus does that throughout the Bible. He talks about the two paths. Broad is the way and wide is the gate which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that find it. And straight is the way and narrow is the gate which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I mean, he always has a way of getting it down to the simple of it. And this is the same way. He says, look, he's just given his famous Sermon on the Mount. He said, the do's and don'ts, and he's kicking off his ministry, and it started with the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and he rolls on, and this is how he closes it out. He says, you hear my sayings, and you do them, you follow them, you're going to build your house upon a rock, a solid foundation. And that way, when the storms of life come, your house will stand. It says it beats upon that house. That's what it says, right? And he says, and the winds blew and what? Beat upon the house. And he says, but the house will stand because it's founded upon a rock. And he says also, he says, but if you hear these sayings and you don't do them, it's like a foolish man. You build your house upon the sand. And he says, and when the winds and the floods and they beat upon that house, the house will fall. And great will be the fall of it. I mean, it's so simple. But he lays it out just like this. There's so many things in common in this story. Of course, there's a house in common. We got basically two stories within the story. You got the house that's built upon the sand. You got the house that's built upon the rock. You got storms. Storms are in common. You know what? In this life, it doesn't matter whether you choose to believe or don't believe. Storms are coming. I mean, you can... The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, if you want to look over there right quick, it's just a page away. If that, it says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Meaning it says it doesn't matter. You're going to get sunshine one day, you're going to get rain the other. It doesn't matter if you're good or evil, that's just life. And that's one thing that we can go ahead and expect in our life, whether we choose to follow God to everything that we can think of or whether we choose not to, we're going to face storms in this life. But he's given us a formula on how to withstand those storms. We're going to try and illustrate that a little bit tonight. Now, that being said, we have so many times we get frustrated in our storms. You know, we get impatient. We give up and we relinquish what we think God should be doing. We say, okay, God, we just take it right out of his hands and we bring it into our own. You know, so many times that's the worst thing that we can do. You know, we just sang songs tonight talking about trusting in God and how we rely upon him and everything. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. But it's so hard when you're getting that constant bombardment of the storms in life. You know, you're thinking, oh, man, God's not even here. He's not even seeing what I'm going through. And we try to grab onto whatever's lying around just to ease what little bit of our pain. And that's when the trouble begins. If we can learn to endure these storms, then we can see the result. Let's go to James chapter 1 right quick. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse number 12, says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Here is the problem in the matter. You know, we talk about taking things into our own command and on our own hands, and that is what Christ is talking about. Here he's saying, look, or what James is saying here, he's saying, so many times and when we are going through the struggles of life and we're thinking we want to blame God or we want to cry out that he's not seeing us or hearing us, and he says, God's not tempting you or nothing like that. It's just life is what it is, but we want to take things in our own hands. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life. He said, also, he says, let no man say he's tempted of God, but every man's tempted, drawn away. He said, but so many times what happens is when lust hath conceived, when we're looking to ease that pain, we look to the wrong places. We look to the comfort of this world. We look to the things that entice us, that are appealing unto the eye and appealing to the touch and appealing to our six senses. He says we go to those things instead of trusting in God. He says, and that's when lust hath conceived it. When then we appeal unto that, he says, it brings forth sin. And then guess what? Sin brings forth what?
Yeah.
You know, life is already tough in general. It's tough. He said, but when we throw the variable of sin into the equation of life, guess what? We're adding more trouble unto it. We're adding more things. It's better off just to relinquish everything unto God. Okay, God, I know it's hard. I know it's tough, but if it's you will take it, and if I can just learn to leave it alone and not appease myself, I'll be better off in the end than I would be if I take this thing into my own hands. Because the end result is going to be that of destruction. That's what he said about the houses. So many times we don't want to listen unto the instruction of God. We want to listen unto our own instruction. And there we go. We take our house off the rock, and we put it right on the sand. And then the storms come, and then our house falls.
Moving right along.
So it's good to endure. It's good to be patient. Luke 21:19. Let me read it right quick, because if I quote it, I'll butcher it up. Luke 21:19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. When we're patient, when we're learning to trust God, he says that's where we possess our souls. And so many times we get impatient. God, this struggle has been going on for so long. It's been going on for 6 weeks. It's been going on for 6 months. It's been going on for 6 years. It's been going on for however long. God, I can't endure anymore. You know, and just upon the other, he says, it doesn't matter. Just continue, keep the faith. Keep going on. Keep trusting God. It's not a plan that's going to happen overnight. God says, when the fullness of time comes, when I'm ready to reveal it, that's when it's going to happen. And then you're going to look back and you're going to see that the wait was worth the while. Amen. All right. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Verse number 1. Reason right through these. Romans 5, verse number 1. Romans 5, verse number 1, it reads like this. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps, or peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to focus a little more on the first 5 verses there. He kind of lays it out, a lot of information just in 5 verses of Scripture that I can't even begin to give it. But he says, we're justified by our faith, and with that faith we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what he starts to rolling into, and therefore now by whom we also, that same Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace, undeserving favor. What Pastor David was talking about this morning, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So we have all this going for us that we can have hope and peace and everything through Christ Jesus. He's saying, look, God gives us that reminder. He says, look, there's maybe things that, you know, and it happens to me a lot, especially when I begin to complain to God. You know, I find myself, okay, God, this ain't right. You know, this ain't fair. This ain't justifiable. This is how it should be. You know, and I kind of pray and talk like that to God, and then He gives me quick reminders of how it really is. You know, He's quick to put me on point and remind me through the Word. He said, look, man, what do you think? You think that this person down the street's got it easier or harder? You think that everything's perfect in their life? Or He's saying, you know, you guess, this is how it is. He said, look, I've got it waiting for you. You just got to trust me. He reminds me real quick that, hey, look, who's running this thing? You want to run it? You know, I'm reminded of Job in the latter chapters. He says, where were you when I hung the stars in the sky or molded the earth? He says, where were you, Job? He says, look, this ain't hard for God. God's got everything exactly where it is. He's got every piece where it needs to be, and He's moving it. Romans 8:28, for all things work to the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. He says, I'm moving it in the fashion. I didn't say all things were good. All things are working for your good. They're molding. They're shaping. The time is getting close. You just got to continue on. And that's how, you know, and I want Him to talk to me. Like, I want Him to set me straight. And I'll get to some more of those things. We got another scripture to read. But He says, tribulation worketh patience. It teaches me to be patient. It teaches me to trust and to rely on God, to knowing that it's not in my hands. And I find that whenever there is a problem, and that's how I am, I like to, you know, that's kind of how this happened right here. I see a problem, I try to fix it instantly. I don't put much other thought into it, you know. And that's how it was. There was a problem, and I saw that it was out of place, and my instinct was to fix it right then on the spot. Not being aware to my surroundings. You know, and it's the same way with God and moving in the Spirit. When something's out of place, I want it to be put back in place. I want it to be fixed. I don't think it's an OCD thing. I just think that's just my nature. I don't like it to be broke. I need it to be fixed, and I want it fixed. And in my spiritual life, it's the same way. God, I want this fixed, and I'm going to fix it. And so many times, I butcher up more than if I'd have just left it alone and let God handle it. And he says, so it's teaching you to work patient. Hey, look, trust God. He'll give you the patience, and then He's going to give you this thing called experience. Anybody had an experience with God? All right? Say, for example, God brought you through something. It took a while to get there. Now you have this experience. You've been there. You know. And now it's going to bring hope for the next trial. Remember, we said weathering the storms. Because if you think it's just going to be one storm in life, you're totally wrong. Because you get through one, maybe you're not even done with there. There's going to be another one coming right around the corner. Or maybe there's one right on the verge. Maybe you're in three storms at once, but you got this hope now. Okay, God, You've given me patience. I've received that one thing, so I have that experience that You brought me through it before. Now I have hope that You can bring me through this one as well. And it's just a chain reaction of what's going on here. God's saying, look, it's not just one thing. It's so many things I'm trying to teach you in this whole process. I'm trying to teach you patience. I'm trying to give you an experience, and I'm also trying to give you hope for the future, because you're going to face more things, bigger, challenging. That's how it is. You know, Sean's big into video games, ain't he, right? He's big into it. The first level's the easiest level, right? And that's how it goes. When you get to the second level, it gradually gets harder. And the third level, and the fourth level. It's the same way with God. He's not going to give you, if you're going through the same problem over and over again, this means you're not learned everything to graduate to the next one just yet. You got to get through each level. It's a level thing. It's a building block, because you'll begin. It's like, now I ran into a simple I say is simple, it's simpler compared to some of the other things I faced this past week. And I didn't even get mad about it. It's like, well, it is what it is. It'll work itself out. God's got it under control. Because I look at it now at a different point of view, because I've gone through things that were much more of greater challenge. You know, the one thing that used to get me completely bent out of shape, now it's like, you know what? That's so simple for God to fix. It's not even a problem. I don't even worry about it. And guess what? He did. He stepped up in a mighty way, and he moved. All right. Talking about God, my conversations with God, let's go to my last scripture here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Hebrews 12 and 1. We're going to read a pretty lengthy passage here, so just bear with me. Everybody there? Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Lord Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh with which correcteth us, and he gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. All right, that was a pretty lengthy passage there, and so many things that I want to point out. You know, he's saying, run with patience the race that is set before us. And that's what he's saying, keeping our eyes on the goal line, the finish line. It's easy, you know, traveling down the highways of life, you know, to get caught on the billboards on the side of the road. You know, exit ramp here, get food, gas, novelty items, whatever, you know. You know, when we're traveling and working for God, it's just so easy. Even when the times get hard, we want to cool off and hit the rest area. We want to, you know, put the cross down for a little while. We want to, you know, hit the pause button and just do our thing. But he's saying, look, keep your eyes on the heat. Run the race. Yeah, it gets frustrating. Yeah, it gets hard. He said, but there's an end thing in sight. He says, now, look unto our example. Look unto Jesus. Look at how he set the example for us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and it now, when it was all said and done, sit down at the right hand of the Father. He says, now consider him For he endured such contradiction to sinners, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He says, look at the endurance that he put forth, the heartache and everything that he went through. Now he's saying, have you been resisted unto blood? Have you shed blood on your account? I mean, have you endured such pain that it was against that, striving against the things of sin? He said, look, just keep it to the end. If Christ set that mark, let us continue with everything within us to set the same. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son, like I was talking about. I want God to talk to me in that matter. I want him to set me straight. I want him to put me on the path that I need to be thinking. If I'm not thinking right, I want him to put me where I need to be. I want him to say, hey, look, this is where I want you to be. This is what I have for you. Look, you know, I'm sure there was times in Joseph's and Job's life that while they were enduring through their struggles, that they had those times where they had to speak out. Where it's not written, I can't say that they did, but I find it hard to believe a man could just stay, you know, that way the whole time, but he probably did. I don't know. But I know with me, I want God to talk to me like that. Hey, look, you're not, hey, think right. Think on me. Keep it unto the end. All right. So now, it says, so lift up your hands which hang down in the feet, and make passes straight for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. I heard a preacher preach a sermon on that one time. He said, you can get bitter or you can get better. And it was a long time ago. I can't even tell you. I always just remember that phrase, you know, so many times we can allow the things to get bitter in us. We can say, God, we can call out the things that ain't right and this, that, and the other. God, you know, but God's going to make it right. He's going to fix the things. He's going to fix the wrongs. He's going to do all those things. You know, the day's coming, you know, that he's going to make the things right, whether it's in this life or in the next. Just know that God is on our side. He's saying, look, you can have the storms of life come in your life and be built upon that solid foundation. You can lose a shingle here, a window pane here, or a door there. Storms can take out parts of a house, or they can cause damage here and there, but guess what? The house will still stand. So I've seen so many times that people give their hand up from the things of God and just go their own way, and I watch their whole lives crumble to nothing. To nothing. And that's what God's trying to say. Look, it's not about it's about you following what I have for you. He says, and if we do those things, he said, look, he says, I'll give you life and life more abundantly. It's the enemy that comes to steal you. So to weather the storm, saints, tonight is to have that foresight in your mind of the end that God has for each and every one. It's easy. Like he was talking about the sheep this morning, we're so short-sighted. We only see the things that are close to us. We don't have that foresight. But God's got it for us. We're willing to trust him to the end. He'll bring it under pass. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you want to, as we're closing out tonight, if you want to make an altar at your seat, or if you want to come up here and pray, you're more than welcome to. But let's go to the Lord and spend some time in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the storms of life. Father, we know that they're constant. They're always coming. But we know that they're allowed for a purpose, for a reason, to mold us, to shape us, to teach us patience, to give us that experience, Lord God, and to bring forth hope that you'll move forth in our lives. You've done it once, you'll do it again. And God, as we each face every individual storm, in our lives, Lord God. My storms may be different from theirs. Theirs may be different from mine, Lord God. You know what each and every one of us are going through. And I pray that you would give us the strength to endure, Father. Touch our hearts and our minds to have the foresight to look forward under your hand moving in our lives. Help us to trust you in each and every step, in each and every direction. Father, bring your will to pass in each and every one of our lives. God, I ask you to touch each and every one here tonight, those that wanted to be here and couldn't. And Father, bless them mightily, Lord. Let the word reach forth, Lord God, and touch our hearts. Let it echo through our minds, Father, and shape us. For faith comes by hearing and hearing. God, I just ask that you would continue to have your hand in our lives, and Lord God, see us through to the end of each and every one of our situations. Lord, we'll thank you and give you glory, honor, and praise for it all. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. All right. All hearts and minds clear tonight. Amen. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll say one more closing prayer and then we'll be gone. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the time and opportunity to be in your house. Father, as we depart, we ask that your hand upon our lives, give us traveling mercies, Lord God. Bring us back at the next appointed time. Father, we can continue to worship and praise your name and give reverence for everything that you've done in our lives. Touch us in our work week. Bless us. Keep your hand upon us. Let peace be with us in all things. And Father, we'll be sure to give you glory, honor, and praise for it all. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for the opportunity tonight. Y'all be blessed.